Okay. There is a feedback survey form that you guys are going to fill up. There's very little information that's required of you. Make sure that you fill it up and give it to me before the end of the class. And the project is due today. Presumably you all gave it to me. The demos, has everybody signed up for demos with the TA? Okay, make sure that you have already signed up. And then, so I gave the homework for, there are 7 questions now. Okay. 6th question is sort of required some effort. Yes, sir. Where is supposed to be TA? in the TA's room. This is basically across from my office. That's where he sits. Oh. If you have met him before, you would have known, but I guess you didn't meet it before. His office is right across from mine. There is a, like a 557 BC. So the more interesting question that you should spend some time on, as I said on Friday itself, was you are going to look at the 2005, I made a mistake, 2005 World Wide Web Conference, for which the entire proceedings are online. And what you're going to do essentially is pick a paper, anyone, you know, just look at the titles or whatever, and pick a paper that you haven't read before and write me a 1-page summary. Okay, that was basically that problem. Mostly to give you an idea that it's not really that out of your reach to read these papers. In fact, we wound up reading several of these papers during the semester. I mean, Trust Rank was last year's VLDB, and I think we looked at several of them from very recent years. MTAG was like a couple of years back. Okay, so you can pick, and again, as I said, the important thing is to, I'm not expecting everybody to understand the paper that they read completely, but the way you understand something is by making connections between the paper you're reading and something that you have already learned. Okay, so preferably something that you learned in this class. So try to make connections to what they're saying and what you already know from the class. Okay. That's the, and I think, in fact, as I said, the example of that was Trust Rank, which I actually just described by one slide. Of course, you know, I picked my paper, so it was easier for me. It was just one slide description of what the main idea is, and the rest is detailed. And, you know, you could connect it up to something that you know about page rank computation. Okay, so that's one of the bigger questions. Then let's see, what else are there? I think the two questions that have been around for a long time, the information extraction, I'm making you to, most of the questions were there to make you actually go through the lecture notes. Okay, I know that it was the end of the semester, we went through various topics, and you guys had enough things on your head, so you may or may not have had any reason to actually look at the lecture notes. So this is, to some extent, for people who actually followed everything that went in the class, this might be much faster. But for people who did not, you know, you actually have to figure out where the answers are and then, you know, find it. These are not the deepest problems. They probably won't require multiple, you know, levels of thinking. But you need to know where this stuff was discussed, and it's not that hard to. Okay. So there is something about know-it-all, something about semantic annotation, which is SemTag and Seeker. There is a question on the social networks, which was our most recent, the last topic. There is this question on writing the summary, and then I also added this last question on database information integration, because that's the only other topic for which I didn't have any questions. Okay, so this is just, you know, to make you go through every one of those PowerPoint files I took time making. So that was the whole point. Okay. My deadline for this is 9th December, which is basically this Friday, end of the day. Okay, does that look fine? If you haven't even looked at this, of course, everything looks fine. okay, and I did say in my mail that the only requests for extensions I would consider are those who have way too many exams on Thursday and Friday. I mean, there's some number I gave, you know, more than two exams or something. So if you are in one of those cases and you need the extension, ask me. If not, it's due on Friday, end of the day. Okay. In hard copy. Okay. So those are the three things regarding the administrative stuff. Before we continue with our main agenda today, which is the review, which you would do for me, are there any questions? Okay. So this was a slide I put up, I think, in the beginning of the semester, a slide of either this one or some variation of this. What did you, I mean, I asked you before the course started what you thought you were going to learn from this. And I think you were just as forthcoming in your answers as you just have been a few minutes back. I gave you my idea as to what you might get. And those were the general ideas, such as how the search engines work, whether web can be seen as a collection of semi-structured data sources. If so, can we adapt database technology to it? Can useful patterns be mined from the pages or interactions on the web? And if so, how you do it? And then I said we'll basically split it into information retrieval, integration, aggregation, information or data mining, and then other topics. Okay, that's what was the original idea. These are the topics that we actually went through. Those are the topics that we actually went through. So you have the usual IR plus search engine, and then this is your data mining, the pattern mining, clustering, text classification, filtering, personalization. This is your connection to the databases. Why do we even care about databases on the web? How are XML sorts of standards related to what we might be interested in doing, and also the stuff about semantic web. And then we talked about how to make a semantic web by extracting information directly. So how do we go from, so this is text data, this is assuming fully structured data, but web is actually text, which is not structured, and so how can you extract information if somebody hasn't already annotated it? How would you extract information directly from the web and then convert it into some sort of a structured representation? We also looked at integration, aggregation stuff, some query processing issues, and then we spent some time on essentially combining query processing from databases and information retrieval directions so that what you get is a mishmash where in databases, suddenly you start talking about precision and recall of query processing algorithm. And then we finally spent some time on social networks, which sort of was relevant to what we did here in terms of page rank and so on. So in some sense, it was a continuation of what we were doing there. So those were the topics we covered. As far as I remember, these were never done in this course before. I didn't teach them before. And I also got to teach you a lot more about text classification. So normally, at the end of my course, I have this Oscar Schindler routine where I complain that I didn't have enough time to do a lot more things. I am happy to tell you that we would skip that this time because I actually think I pretty much did whatever I wanted to do. I mean, if anything, I had the possibility that my brain was empty and I had nothing else to teach you. So I think pretty much anything I thought was worthy of teaching in this course, we actually did go through it. especially because we had done this stuff on information extraction and semantic web more than I normally do. So there is this, you know, if you take teaching courses, they always tell you that it's not what you covered, but what you uncovered. And so the real question is, what did I actually, what did you actually get out of all these many lectures? And so I thought you would tell me. And this is again my usual slide on why we should have an interactive review as against me reviewing for you what happened. So it's like me telling you what you learned. Makes no sense because I always think that I have told you everything that you ever needed to know. So it's possible that what I'm thinking I told you versus what you got out of the course are two completely different things. And normally this sort of a group interactive review thing, sometimes it's been my experience that if I keep telling you that a topic X is very interesting, you have no reason to believe me, whereas hopefully there's a little more reason to believe me and believe somebody else in the class who was also taking the same class with you, but they found topic X more interesting. And if you didn't actually, you know, stay awake during that topic, maybe after the course is over, you'll go and look at the slide and read more about it. So that's my reason for doing this interactively as against teaching myself. Now, I really love my voice, and you know, I never lose a chance to talk myself as against letting other people talk. But, and yet I think it'll be more fun if you guys do it. So as I said, this is the format for the review. Each of you will get about 4 minutes to hold forth on any of the following. And then Jinchen is going to take notes, and we will, depending on what actually gets said, there may be interesting discussions. You know, I have no real clue. This is not, I mean, I did not rehearse anything with you guys. So we'll see how it goes. Okay? Any questions before we start? Okay? So who wants to be the first sacrificial scapegoat? Yay, there you go. Okay, so let's do this actually. I'll play the Jay Leno in the Tonight Show. So I'll give you this. So when you speak, talk into this. I'm just put it in front of your class. Okay.
So you are?
I'm Martin Lehner.
Okay.
And I guess I just have some things about what I liked. I really enjoyed when we talked about folksonomies and social networks. It's really interesting for me to see the kinds of networks and emergent behavior that comes out of users when there's a lot of users that aren't necessarily connected to each other other than what they're doing on the web, and we see these communities and things emerge from that. I took AI before and I was really into that, so I like seeing Naive Bayes and that its application to what we're doing here. Social networks, its connection to other real life things like diseases and spreading. Other stuff, phone networks. It was great to see that stuff and maybe do a little more research on my own. One thing I thought made the class really difficult was how it brought together so many things. Brought together AI, databases, linear algebra, and all that stuff, and we had to go and implement those things. So it made it difficult just in the fact that it was so many things we had to bring together. And if, you know, we hadn't touched those in a while, had to go look them up again. A connection between some things that I thought was cool was just an observation from the project that PageRank related to authorities. When I did the second project, I didn't know that. Only since I've done the third part of the project did I realize that. And where things ought to go, I'd like to see a bit more AI research done in the area to automate some things, maybe some more agent type stuff. I'm really into the AI part, so
okay.
Maybe to do with social networks.
So I think your comments regarding the folksonomy is interesting. The question about folksonomy, I think for those of you who want to follow it up further, is how do you, I mean, the way folksonomy is currently developed, we spent some time on this, it's very flat, there's no real hierarchical structure. And it's interesting, you can get somewhere. By basically people defining various categories. But to get anywhere near the kind of design hierarchy is a key issue. And I again, I mean, if you guys remember, there was this a set of slides that I had in the middle of the image slides that I actually created this time as to the three important ideas, three important ways in which services will get done. And one of which is basically converting people, some people who are watching from video or web pages to work for you. The Postman is trying to do that. But the question is, you know, you get what you pay for up and down. And, you know, how do you get reasonable tax on RRGs for people who are just making up tax payments rather than the law? So there are some things like sticking to popular categories that comes out very easily. But beyond that, it's an issue. Any comments for anybody else? About what am I going to say? I mean, my God, this guy just out of the team, but I'm laughing there. Okay, so Martin is done, so next
12-1
is 4-1 to Magic Fan. Remember, by the end, there's nothing left to say. So,
so you're
going to
go
there? And the participatory spirit is really really important. So,
why not?
You have something to have.
Do it. Okay. All right, I'm Chance Kirsch. The things I liked were actually the two things that were new this semester were social networks and information extraction.
Mm-hmm.
I like social networks because it kind of showed that some of the web applications can apply to social or vice versa, social applications can apply to web applications, and that everything really is a small world. I liked the information extraction because I liked the part where something so simple such as hit Seattle plus city divided by hit Seattle could tell you something about Seattle, such Seattle is a city. For the integrating connections, I kind of liked
by the way, the all of them don't have to get whatever you want to say, what you say, you don't have to necessarily
okay.
You know, it's not whatever it is that's teaching you,
okay.
What you think other people should spend more time reading about because you spend more time reading about. So think of this as a collaborative advising. My hope is that most of the topics will get appreciated here, and so everybody will wind up reading the entire course on themselves or the different day. But, you know, I can always go. So, any other
points? Yeah, I'd like to see like more of the new stuff. That would be kind of nice. And
what
also, the newer stuff, the stuff that you didn't show before, such as social networks and information
okay.
extraction. And also, probably a useful, you said that Google's not the best and all this stuff, but you didn't come up with PageRank algorithms that were just as fast and could be compared to Google. I guess you did. Yeah. I guess it'd be nice to see more of
so
that kind of
thing. So those who can do, those who can't,
yeah.
teach other people to do it. So I'm teaching you guys to do it, hopefully. I think a more important point really is not that I was going to redo Google over the SMHL long course, but hopefully makes you get out of the mindset that everything what's doing has already been done. All I need to do is read up a couple of papers. And, you know, believe me, that can be a debilitating issue. Especially people who start getting into research always, and then start reading papers after papers after papers, never realize, all papers are written as if the area has been closed after the paper. Otherwise, why would the paper get in, right? But you have to have a skeptical attitude. To some extent, you have to assume that there is a problem with whatever you say. That's the only way. As I think one or somebody said, change comes from unreasonable men and discontented people. Okay? People who are happy with the state of affairs are not going to change. More technically, I think there are really several problems with Google. And those are being answered as we speak. In fact, that's one of my points of getting you to read www.2005 proceedings, because you would be surprised as to how many titles start making sense. And you'd be surprised that you would have actually harder time picking a paper and reading as again as none of these are making sense to me worldwide. Yeah, most of you won't. That's right. Amber has another thing to try to. Okay.
I'm up next.
My name is Nicholas Radke. I got a long list of things here. I tremendously enjoyed the course. It's a hodgepodge of all sorts of things, so I'll try not to bore everybody too much with these. Vector space search, I thought, was fascinating. We kept on coming back to it. It's interesting that it works as well as it does to begin with. So that was definitely on the list that made it of things I liked. LSI is a darn good idea. I mean, it's kind of a holy grail in the sense of reducing dimensionality is exactly the sort of thing that you look at in a lot of different situations. I think from the homework, probably a number of people would agree, it's a mess to actually do via the linear algebra. But if you don't get, you know, tied down in that sort of problems with actual implementation, it's a darn good idea. PageRank and kind of the authority slash hubs, I kind of found PageRank to be hokey. The whole idea that you can simulate how the importance of a page by having a random surfer just surf around, if you look at the real world, that's not what goes on. I mean, people do not just randomly follow a link. If you give them all links, they're not going to follow them with equal probability. In fact, that's an inherent flaw in PageRank. And everybody's probably in the situation where you're searching on the web for some specific thing. You get into a page that promises to have it. It looks real promising. You look it over, and, oh, it's just one link click away. Well, you follow that link, and you're on another page. Oh, it's got to be on this page. Well, no, again, it's a promise that it's there, but it isn't quite there. You do that 5 or 6 times, and you get really bored, and you leave that site. And presumably in the future, if you ever end up in a site that's similar to that, you never do it again. PageRank doesn't capture that sort of problem. Humans actually process the data that's on the page, and if they get stuck in a link farm that promises things, but they aren't really, there really is no content there, they leave, and they never come back. All right?
I think there's a very good point there. It's much bigger than the statistic one, which is we are very easy to link on the web. Okay, even despite all the problems I have about Google, yesterday overnight, my in-laws were calling me from India, and they were going to take us to this place we never heard of. It was a little place, a very little place. And they were going to take us there, and they were wondering, they were trying to describe it over the phone to us, and they were wondering whether it might be interesting. So I typed the name on the Google, and I got the page, and I could teach them what it is that they were trying to take me to. Okay? So partly what is happening is, we are just truly happy that information that we want is even available. Much of, I think, to actually understand some of the frustration of the hookiness of like the base band or the hookiness of IR-based receivers, you need to have, scenarios such as what, people using LexisNexis used to do, or people, biologists, trying to pick the right paper, that may be relevant, of relevance to them, or likely to be looking for. Okay? So of the 100 queries that you're using Google for, about 95 of those queries are such that pretty much you are happy with the fact that there is a page. Okay? And only 5 you start actually wondering why is it that there was no good way of figuring out what the right page is. And the more you wind up concentrating on that, and you in fact you're professionally paid to search for information. As against we do, right now this is the age of web, we are all micro travel agents, micro booksellers, micro book buyers, micro auctioneers, and then of course there's also a professional life for us. And if your professional life is actually searching for information such as looking for the right types of papers, I think you will find that what you have is the user. Go ahead.
Moving on to the clustering. I enjoyed the clustering. What I would have liked to have seen is some different clustering methods other than k-means. I mean, k-means is the one that always comes up, and once you've seen it, you've seen it. So it would have been nice to expand to some different versions of clustering. I shy away from the database portion. I'm not a database guy, but I will at least mention that XQuery I found, if not interesting, at least useful potentially in the future, depending on what the standard is that actually develops. Moving on to the semantic web, a lot of that hits home because I've written applications that have to mine off of web pages and whatnot. I would like to see the semantic web be a reality. I don't think that it's a reality in the near future. And unfortunately, things like wrappers are going to be a large maintenance problem, but unfortunately going to continue to exist for a while. Natural language processing I particularly enjoy, even though this was just natural language processing light. It's just a particular interest of mine. I really can't request for more in this course because that wasn't the point of it. Also, the folksonomies were interesting in the sense of what better way to classify things than to actually get people to do it. The biggest trick, of course, is how in the world do you get people to do that? And it's a little scary that some things like Delicious and Flickr will actually exist, and that there are people out there who are willing to take the time to categorize those things and don't have better things to do. We're thankful that they do it, but it's a little scary that they feel they need to do that. In regards to many of the topics that we discussed, many of them came back to Google or to vector space searching and whatnot. The authorities in Hubs, for example, exploited what Google is already taking care of for them. Know-it-all was taking care of trying to extract facts based on using existing search engines. Dr. Rao's comments in regards to his graduate student who tried to figure out whether he was building correct English sentences. I think that general misuse or abuse or creative use of something that already exists was particularly fascinating, to take something like Google and use it in a way that it was not intended for, but you still get interesting results. I think a company such as Google has to be very worried about that sort of thing going on, because they have a limited number of resources, and when everybody else is using up those resources to produce results that are better than them, I mean, that's a problem. A single user, if he submits an average of 10 queries a day, no problem. Somebody builds another application that's indexing 400 million web pages and using Google for every single one of them, that's a problem. I don't know why Google doesn't scoop up that opportunity to charge royalties
I'm
for
sure
that sort
do.
Of thing.
I'm sure they do, but I can be smarter than them. I mean, in a sense, a lot of people are actually... I mean, in the Noita paper, the first version actually used Google. The second version is using its own crawler. I mean, in fact, half of the web traffic right now, I think, is generated by the crawler. Okay, in the old days, there would be one crawler visiting my page. Now, everybody and their brother, including students who are writing, you know, search engines for their class project are crawling the web. Okay? I mean, there is a different issue that will come up if everybody is crawling, that's an increase in the traffic, but there are multiple people who can maintain a catalog of the web. Google doesn't have a monopoly on that. Now, they definitely do a good job right now, but, you know, in fact, they already don't give you the API privileges if you do more than some number of credits. So it's just a question of all you need is crawl the web, and you can crawl it just as much as they can. And I realize that it's an engineering problem, but one of the things that we did not do, and in fact, I wish if we are more sophisticated in the programming abilities, we should actually be doing, maybe the next time I do this course, we'll start with not search engine, which is basically, has a pretty reasonable infrastructure for building search engine. As again, as writing your own little thing, and start from there and start extending it. That is something that, basically, it's a post project, and, they've been building a pretty good search engine. One other thing, again, I think that came up in Nicholas' comment is this business that, I mean, I got my CBG ideas and I wanted to show them to you again, but web is not a bunch of random documents. It really is a collective unconscious of humans. So it's not surprising that you can use web to figure out whether the accessibility or not. If you can push it too far, in fact, there is a homework question that specifically asks you whether, in fact, you can always do just Google to answer your question. And obviously not, you know, but certain types of questions are easily answered if there are enough people who put these basis. But it is important to realize, in fact, that comes up in other situations too, is that exercise queries, when we talk about exercise queries, there was this issue of finding approximate functional dependencies in the data. Now, if I generate the data randomly, there's no real reason to believe that the dependencies will even be there. Okay, part of the reason you expect those kinds of dependencies to exist is because this data is not just randomly generated. corresponds to some of the other cells. Okay. And so in fact, you can kill PageRank, you can kill any of these ideas, depend upon Google, depend upon the web page, by actually populating web with your own documents that are randomly generated. And it won't work out. In fact, I think we talked about this one time, and imagine how well that upward model works if in fact the world was, if in fact the original files were generated by back upward model. You know, that's an interesting question. So, you know, you are assuming you're simplifying the world by using back upward model. But suppose in fact all the world, you know, pages in the world are generated by back upward model, then what would be the trivial accuracy?
All right, sadly I have three more points. One of the interesting things is all of these ideas in regards to indexing the web are rather dumb ideas. I mean, you look at them, they're simple, dumb in the sense of they certainly don't match the cognitive ability of what humans are able to do. Yet, what they actually come up with seems to be relatively decent results. And you take something simple like PageRank and anchor text, and suddenly Google knows who a miserable failure is versus half of the American people haven't actually figured that out themselves. So, I mean, it's quite interesting that you can come up with that sort of with rather simple ideas stacked on top of each other. One of the things I would have liked to have seen a little more of was scalability. The web is huge. It's the biggest distributed system around. And any of these problems and their potential solutions have to address the scalability problem. And I'm not convinced that many of them actually could be implemented on a large enough scale that they would actually work. And finally, my favorite topic was Deepawali. I think we definitely need to dedicate a few more Raspberry bars to that and a few more class sections in the future.
That's definitely a reason to do it. But regarding the point before that, you said I forgot to tell us Deepawali.
Scalability.
It is. I think you can't teach scalability. You do scalability. You write, but to the extent, there are people who actually complained during the semester that on the small scroll that they were given, data back computation is taking too long. Okay, it should not. And in fact, the DA was saying that you should show me baseline running in front of me, right? And really, Google doesn't show PageRank computation in front of anybody because it's a large, large graph. However, for your graph, if you can't compute PageRank in a couple of minutes, then you're dead, on arrival for a larger graph. You understand? So, in a way, I think I completely agree that there is one thing that we didn't do as well in this course is basically scalability. But then, scalability makes up for very dry lecture. More beautiful to get stuck in front of your computer and realize that it's not going anywhere, and then you start using all the stuff that people have been paying attention to in pre-camp in terms of the tooling algorithm. Okay. I mean, there are more things than just what you learned in pre-camp, but scalability makes for poor lecture. That's part of the reason I didn't go there. It would be nicer to have projects which actually emphasize that. But I would see how many people actually say that the project was too. I would still wait to see how many comments come. Other comments? If not, management goes to the next person. It doesn't have to go, but if somebody else wants to ask, you can do that to them.
I'm Garrett Wolf. I actually wrote down that I wanted to learn a little bit more about scalability too. We learned about how Google uses the different buckets to improve performance. Vector similarity, I thought that was really interesting. I never saw a use for vectors or matrices before this class from 342, and now they come up everywhere in pretty much every topic. I liked how you connected it to image processing and vector quantization, k-means algorithm. I found the actual implementations a little bit difficult, so again, seeing some more hardware issues would have been nice. And I like the LSI, how you can just come up with words that aren't really in there, but they're actually related. That's pretty much it.
One other point about scalability. If you read a paper like FastRank, okay, how many of you actually read that paper? If you open that paper, that I taught it in the class, and I taught it with one slide, basically. Okay, it's a 14-page paper, a 12-page paper. Okay, most of it really is dedicated to, I mean, the way you get that idea sold in terms of, you know, people taking it seriously. Anybody can actually talk about that. The important idea of propagating class to get the initial vector distribution, initial probability distribution. That's a nice point. Except that won't in itself get you anywhere unless you actually run it on a large size, you know, a chunk of web graph. Okay. So that's basically what they were doing. So to some extent, scalability is your admission price to start doing fun stuff. It would be nice to have, I mean, you know, you probably want to try out neat ideas, but if you don't scale them, and if you say, here's a great replacement for PageRank, and here is it working very fast on a 7-mode graph, doesn't cut it. Okay, if you want to kill PageRank, you have to run it on the size of the graph that's at least a reasonable fraction of the web graph. Okay, a lot of people have ideas, that's all they get. But the question is, you know, do take the time to run that ultimately. Again, I think scalability is again these things, these are things in admission price. Okay, it's very important. I have no question that you guys are saving money. Yeah, next. Separately, okay, let's get it out of from there.
Is it still running?
Hi.
Yes.
Okay, good. I actually have a couple of comments that are more... Oh, sorry, my name is Bob Lehman. You'll find me on the roll as James. Some of the more interesting comments I've got are actually a little bit more about some of the overtones in the course than the fundamental things that we most discussed, although I actually found a lot of it, much like everyone else, very interesting. Specifically, vector space ranking rearranged a lot in my brain on how to do AI practically and do interesting things in AI going forward. I had a professor complain recently that AI folks, all they ever work on is toy problems. And I think if you go to the biggest scale out as much as possible, for me, this course was an interesting discussion of how do you actually do something real with the AI stuff that we've talked about. I've taken quite a few classes in AI. Some specific stuff that I thought was very particularly interesting that we didn't spend a whole lot of time on. Again, it's an overtone in the course. There were some comments you made about bias and why bias is a good thing sometimes. To really do machine learning well, you have to understand that concept. And even though I've taken a course that should have included that, I think, I didn't actually capture that concept before.
Did you get it now?
I understand pretty really well why bias is an important thing at times. And here my computer's turning off and all my notes. Another overtone that I thought was really fundamental to doing AI and actually doing something useful and interesting with it. Other people mentioned scalability, for instance. One of them is using domain knowledge. The example given was a Monty Python skit where they were attempting to communicate the verdict of a convicted of someone using pantomime instead of trying to actually say it. Well, that's the same thing here. The example we were up against was spam filtering. But you when you want to get down to the point of actually doing something useful and real and a marketable product and so on with AI techniques, you merge it with domain knowledge. You do whatever hacks and whatever, not really hacks, but whatever cheating you have to do to make it work.
I think at the bigger point there, I mean, you know, this is a sort of very interesting point in the day, not that what you're making is not interesting, which is that you could make a large number of arguments as to why something like vector space similarity has no reason to work. Okay? But trying it out and seeing if a bunch of people are happy, even though they should be happy, if they're happy, you know, that's fine. Okay? That's a very important thing, and I think, I guess, to some extent, having you know, implementations which means this is the industry model where you keep that for the second release. For the first release, we'll do vector space, and you know, 29th release, we'll start actually talking about natural language processing and see how far we go with the first release. That's not a bad idea. In various research areas have different levels of groundedness in this regard. You know, some people, in some areas, we might just care about the fact that the thing works, that's enough. Okay? And then there are other people who are probably solving problems that, when get done, would be better. So, in fact, I think that the classic scenario for this was the RISC versus CISC processor, which is like, you know, taking completely away from whatever course you're doing here. You know, for a while, if you remember, if you're old enough, everybody was trying to design a highly micro-programmed new computer for every type of application. So Lisp, you know, is the right language, so you need a Lisp machine. COBOL is the right language, if you think, then you need a COBOL machine. And so everybody would start having these highly micro-programmed machines, which would be very good on that particular thing. And for a while, they were actually doing well, except the RISC processors, which just had reduced instruction set and would basically, you know, compile everything else into those. Because they wound up actually scaling up fast enough that all the SIS just, you know, fell to the crack. Okay. It's not that if you are giving two people unlimited amount of time and said, okay, find me the best way to run this program, it's clear to me still that SIS would win over it. But what was happening was the number of people working on this process, the number of people buying this process, that changed the balance enough that you wound up actually winning this rather than the, okay. I think there's some connections to that and some other points you make. I'm not sure I can complete that, but
yeah, interesting stuff there. It's certainly, all the other courses I've ever taken, professors are always talking, well, this is NP-hard, and, you know, throwing up their hands, and, well, let's see if we can actually do something in that regard.
Yeah, you know, that's basically, I think, in most interesting algorithms are all NP-hard. I mean, if I can think of anything, I mean, you know, speaking as an AI person, we are not interested unless it's at least NP-hard. You know, polynomial stuff is good, but we don't want it. But in general, I mean, I think, I also want to mention something else, which is actually already emerging as people are speaking, which is differing motivations that people took this course for, okay, versus the different things that were actually the course itself was trying to do. And, you know, you have a traditional course, there's a single motivation coming in and a single expected output coming out, okay. If you ask me what is this course exactly supposed to tell you, you know, 5 words, I would be lost. I normally, you know, would have asked these questions to people. But I think there is more than one point I was trying to make with this course. And then it gets complicated by the fact that there was more than one interest people had taking this course. And this guy seems to have just looked at how is AI going to be useful for this stuff. And somebody else was looking at it from a different point of view. So it's kind of a, in fact, I think there was, when Nicholas was talking, I had this point brought up here, which is, I mean, I'm not asking people to answer it here, but I always wonder whether the people felt that there were a point to this course, as against many points to this course. Okay. It's sort of a cross-section course, the way it is done. And in fact, it works out very well as a kind of capstone sort of a course, which brings together, you know, 10 things that you learned and you never thought you would use together. As again as, you know, taking any one of those areas way ahead. Okay, I don't think we
opened up new problems in databases. I mean, solved new open problems in databases. What we actually did was we combined stuff from databases, machine learning. And the same thing for clustering, for example, when you mentioned clustering. There are like 10,000 new clustering algorithms. The sad part of it is whoever is doing clustering, you know, at most is doing all the standard ones on the web. Okay, and so that was good enough to finish. But each one of the, I think the cross-sectional aspect of the course is something that is an interesting point. I'm not sure whether it's a bane or a boon, but it is there. You know. You had some other points to make?
Nothing too big, but for my personal interest, I'm probably going to build off of what I learned here off of information extraction and NLP. Because I want to go head down that direction and start doing some interesting things in that regard. Don't know if you could fit it more in this course. And certainly the techniques that we learned are not going to get us too far.
Okay. I'm Madhu. Before taking this course, I spoke with few people about finding out what this course is actually. And couple of them were saying then that we'd be writing a search engine, and that's the first thing that comes out of their what they had to say. And what I found out in this course is it's not just the search engine techniques that we are learning here. There are far more things. The one thing that's getting ignored is the information integration and other stuff. So that's the major part that I've learned from this course. One is the SEM tagging, information extraction, and most of my learning is from the part of is in the form of metaphors. For example, I never thought that a criminal standing in the court saying that I would say only truth, nothing but truth, is somehow related to precision recall curves. And a couple of kids grouping in a class is related to clustering. That's how I learned many of the techniques. And there are also many bad points that I've learned, like I'm planning to write a bad paper to become to become popular. Yeah, and it's interesting to know that I'm only 6 steps away from many actors and act. These are the kind of very interesting things that I've got of this course. And other stuff is many techniques are related to how Delicious works or how tagging is done in Flickr. And many of the cutting edge techniques like filtering and done by Amazon or PageRank by Google, such things are really, I can really go outside and say that I've learned such stuff. That's one thing I could probably say that I've done. Other thing like how the course has progressed. I think we started off with a couple of basic techniques like vector space and progress to really cutting edge techniques, which involved all semantic tagging and other things, information extraction. And pretty interesting thing is that everything boils down to the boils down to this vector space similarity itself. That's the most interesting part I find. So it's always good to have basic stuff, strong basics first. And I also find that the assignments and projects were really helpful, and the recordings, class recordings, were also very helpful. Yeah.
Couple of things. One is regarding the metaphor. That's just my view that you understand something by making connections to things that you know. Okay. A bad metaphor, in my view, is better than ununderstandable reality. So you all have been subjected to Bohr's model of atoms. We still teach Bohr's model of atoms. That's completely true. That's not the way atoms work. Okay, but it's better to start with Bohr's model
and understand why it's not the full reality than to say reality is too complex for you guys. So in general, I might go out of my way to look for metaphors, but I think in general, it's a good idea to make metaphors. And one interesting point, in fact, somebody pointed this out. I mean, how many of you have read Stephen Hawking's so-called reflection time? How many of you actually completed it and thought they understood? Okay, that was one of those books. You know, I mean, Mark Twain has once said that a classic is something that everybody wishes they had already read, and nobody actually has. Okay, and you know, Stephen Hawking's Brief Introduction to Time was way ahead of its time. It was a classic by the time it was released. And somebody has actually pointed out that part of the reason for this is physics has transcended common metaphors. You know, most when you write general science books, you try to explain things to lay public by making common metaphors. Okay, try to explain string theory using common metaphors. You know, what all people are looking at are the actual string. So there are problems. If you stick too close to metaphors, sometimes you would not go too deep. But at the same time, I think it's useful to make connections to areas that, you know, even if they are very far away. In fact, the only metaphor that I did not use, that is somebody else's metaphor I did not use, is this one by Know-It-All paper. If you read it, they actually make this thing of the metaphor of what the Google is a herbivore, and then the new engines are all carnivores. And I'm a vegetarian, and I feel worried about those kinds of metaphors. That's why now carnivores eating me up, and so I didn't choose that. But I think it's a very good metaphor, too. That's about the only one I did not use, even though it was never. There was something else which I was going to mention. Regarding the vector space idea coming everywhere, I think we should keep in mind the possibility that for a man or a woman with a hammer in the hand, everything looks like a nail. Okay. So that's always a first reasonable step, but you could go much farther beyond that. Okay. I mean, right now nobody is pushing anybody, so you know, your first paper, you can always write the vector space idea. In fact, it would be nice to write down how many different places vector space idea got used in this way. And you're surprised. And you look at the doctors of 2005, there are a bunch more explanations, you know, new areas that they wind up using. It's like when in doubt, use vector space. You know, and not because it's the best one. In fact, somebody once said neural networks are the second best way to solve every problem. And somebody else then said genetic algorithms is the third best way to solve every problem. So the first best way is to actually understand the problem and see how to solve it, you know. But if you don't know, you can always find the second and third best ways. And, you know, you can always throw in vector space similarity. We did it in the AFTs, if you remember, in the exercise where you wound up doing a variation of vector space idea. You know, if you're running out of ideas, always try that. But that's not the end all. I don't really think vector space idea is particularly easy. It's very surprising that that answer was.
Hi, I'm Siddharth. First time this came to me, I mean, it was so near it so far. Anyway, continue now. The basic questions that I actually like interested me was, number one, social network and how small variations of it would actually like be useful in many, many different applications. One thing that actually like fascinated me was trust rank, and one more thing that I was actually like learned, which is mentioned in the class but not properly like deeply discussed, was activation networks. How do you actually like compute the similarity between a particular query and the all other nodes, which is something that which is very, very similar to all the ideas discussed and which I understood it myself. And one. The second thing was because the second topic was folk taxonomies. It's because of this reason that even when we create, when it's very similar to the example that Professor Rao just now gave, the professor actually thinks a few topics are much more important and then lays out a hierarchy. But usually, I mean, the way the students actually perceive it is kind of different, and it makes much more sense for the users to actually like tag it. and then though it may not be meaningful, it might just be what somebody else is looking for. So the reason why I liked these two topics was their applications and practicality, and one more reason was because the topic rank of this was very high. Most people also felt that this topic was important, at least the some of the people who already spoke. One more thing was that I found out was geodesic distance. If somebody probably asked why it's actually like named geodesic distance and how do you actually calculate not the approximate but the true geodesic distance between two points is probably that I found out. I don't know whether anybody else found out, so I just like thought it was important. Geodesic distance basically came because, I mean, it was first used to actually calculate the distance between two points on the Earth's curvature. So that's why it's called geodesic distance. And say suppose you want to actually like calculate the geodesic distance, you need to actually like take the normal at the two points and then integrate between the arcs. I mean, the most of the things that we actually discussed was the approximate way to actually do what this is, just the if you want to get the true geodesic distance. And the third thing that I would like to talk about is how practically, I mean, I learned a lot of practical things in this course, especially, I mean, most of the math courses I've taken, I've seen all those equations, I've wondered where to actually use them. For everything, I had an example, so, I mean, it made much more sense to me. And at the beginning of the course, also, I used to, like, browse using Google and buy books using Amazon. But now, I mean, like, things look a lot different because you understand what's going behind it. This is something that I think I've taken the best thing that I've got out of this course.
So
just two more things.
Okay.
It's been very long, sorry. One more idea was that I was able to just translate most of the things, most of the techniques that I had learned in this to actually like other applications. So that was actually like kind of interesting because, I mean, the same logic holds true for most applications. I mean, especially when you're working on some problem, trying to solve it, it fascinates me when the same problem is actually like solved in a much more efficient way in another domain, completely oblivious to what you will keep on working in something. So I learned a lot of ideas that I could just like translate it. So I like that. And one more thing was practically most of the ideas, even though simple, they take a lot of effort to actually like practically do it. And sometimes they give you like very, very irritating errors, which might be very trivial but important to actually like get it finally working. So this is something that I've learned from the class.
isn't there some sort of a team building exercise sort of a thing that companies see in the state where there is some sort of van that given to people and whoever has the van needs to be heard?
I'm Syed Tofiq Ahmed, and I had actually 3 points to say, but two of them have already been repeated like 5 times. So I'll go to the third point. I work in information extraction and text mining, and when I was learning about social networks, I was kind of curious how we can try to find information that is not really obvious to the eyes. It's not. When you say data mining or text mining, we extract most frequent things, not the rare things. And I was actually curious to find how we can have social networks and butterfly effect in social networks. Find out, like, butterfly effect is something like if a butterfly in Tokyo flaps wings, then there can be a tornado in California. So, I mean, if you look at that, I mean, a bush signing a war paper, there can be actually tornadoes in Iraq. So trying to extract events and how close the social events or the social or the people in the social networks are closer and how it affects and how fast can you assimilate that information and also how fast can you broadcast the information. And another example that recently happened was Sony's rootkits, and the blogger community made it spread so fast in the social networks that Sony has to pull back all the CDs. So there are different ways and different models of information broadcasting or information assimilation. Okay, maybe I'm going away from the subject.
I'm Hemal. I'll start with something which hasn't been said. I like the concept of collaborative filtering in which Amazon.com.
Like
actually, I just had an extension as to how right now people just see that those people who have bought this also bought this. But regarding social networks, can we have something interesting like your friends who bought this also bought this? So that would be more appealing to people rather than just saying random people who bought this just bought this thing. So like using the idea of social networking, such things could be very helpful and it could be even beneficial to the company itself. Then I like the interesting connections between DB and IR, how DB community uses the IR techniques. For example, the joins paper use vector similarity for ranking. Similarly, the imprecise queries paper use jacket similarity for doing ranking. So they are using different IR techniques to apply it in databases. On the similar lines, the banks paper which we studied also used the concept of page rank. It basically uses the foreign keys as a sort of links which page rank uses. So it's nice interesting connections which the database community uses from the IR community. And one different thing which I found is that in database community, the methods which we learn, basically they rely on sampling. Like they have a sample data and then based on that sample, they try to query the sources. So it's basically learning on a sample. Whereas in IR, they have the entire crawl data in front of them. It's basically a sample, but a much larger sample, like a sort of an exhaustive sample. So that's what somewhat difference between databases and IR, which I found.
Actually, IR does use samples. The text collection, selection lines.
Yeah,
samples.
Right.
So I think it's a question of, you can always, if you want to learn on the entire world, you can. It's just up here. And when you don't have that, you would use samples.
Because in automated doesn't don't have the entire databases, so basically we use the samples. So some of the topics which I thought could be interesting would be maybe a discussion like the Google discussion which we had, like maybe question answering, which is very much relevant in today's world. How do web search engines answer questions regarding to random user questions, like give me the best Chinese restaurant in Tempe. So how do we answer such questions? Then would be more on relevance feedback. We just learn method, but there are currently many state-of-the-art techniques on relevant feedback which use much more information than just the click-through data. So regarding where this area should go, I think search engines should more, I mean, the obvious area right now seems to me is topic-specific search or personalized search. It seems to be much more convenient to the users as well as raises interesting challenging issues regarding that. Then in this area, what I thought is if we want to have a paper, then basically we need to have a humongous amount of experimentation on a very large data set. So that's one of the basic requirements in this area. You can't just do experiments on some few bunch of pages as you mentioned and have a paper. So
it's not just a question. I mean, you can also take a less, more useful attitude on this, which is, many of these things are emergent phenomena, and you really won't see that page rank is likely to get anything useful unless you see a large enough network. Okay. So I mean, that homework problem with five nodes are just to make you contribute the formula. I mean, but it to actually make sense, I mean, that that it actually makes sense. It's not up. So that's part of the reason. It's not that people are just making you pay the price for admission, but because many things which might work on smaller things might not have any useful.
One last thing is, as this area is regarding users, means we care about users, what they want is the best. So an interesting research area could be basically an experimental study like we had from the Cornell people about the eye tracking and how much do they look at the results, and the Google page, they shift the first and second page, how are the effects. So such experimental studies can be very useful as to reflect the basic idea of users, how they perceive the search engines are. So such experimental studies should be done more, and they should be also a focus of research.
Yeah. The one thing that I was going to mention, and I think you mentioned too, is topic specific and personalized. I mean, those are things we haven't done. I mean, most existing techniques don't do because it's a copy, not because you can't do it. It's very easy to do topic specific page rank, okay, in terms of theory. It's very easy to personalize page rank in terms of theory. Okay, it's very easy to do personalized plus propagation as against just aggregate reputation. You know, reputation is an aggregate measure, trust is with respect to use. Okay. But most places on the web which actually talk about trust propagation are doing a sort of an aggregate measure. You know, these are reputed, so you're supposed to like them. Okay. And the funny part is there is no such thing as a universally liked, a universally trusted page. Right? I mean, yesterday for some weird reason I was looking at the reviews of various movies and I came to English Patient. And you know, those of you who have seen English Patient or have seen the send-off of English Patient from Seinfeld, either of you seem to be here. So English Patient is actually, I thought it was a great movie and millions of people think so, but you go to IMDb, you also see that, half a million of other people think it's the worst movie that was ever made. Okay. From the point of view of high reputation, yes, it's like one of those movies, it's like the top 250 movies or something that you should see. But you are more likely to
isn't the top 50 critics movies of New York?
Yeah. So whereas if Elaine is your best friend, Elaine or Seinfeld, then you probably know that you would hate this movie. Okay, because her opinion is that this movie sucks. And in fact, she has very nice explanations as to why she uses the movie. So the point I'm making is, it's again a question of user-specific trust versus user population-specific reputation. We get by with reputation. eBay goes with reputation. Okay, but that's a reasonable thing if you do not know how to do, if you don't have the infrastructure to do more of a user-specific analysis. You can do user-specific analysis for page rank, you can do it for trust, and from here on, that's what you do, because there's still more and more releases of these things to come. So you need to do that. Okay.
My name is Neerti. First of all, I like most of the topics, like it was a collection of many areas. Most importantly, I like vector space ranking in LSI, as everybody mentioned. And I was surprised to see how much information a single cosine value has and can bring to the web. Like you said, I studied math in high school, trigonometry and matrix algebra. But I need to think, why have we been taught this? But now it seems really useful. Another thing was that relevance feedback and scalar clustering, they are not that difficult to do. But I'm wondering why isn't it being implemented on the web till date? It's not that difficult, is it?
Well, partly because to do the relevance feedback. I mean, the question is, user studies, has anybody shown that relevance feedback is something that people are interested in doing?
But if you do it and then you do user study, it would be,
That's a different story. Yeah, I mean, part of it is,
whatever is working is working because nobody else is complaining, and we're just so enamored with the fact that we can do even this. And you know, that's a good point. And you know, I think it would be reasonable to have early feedback. But it's also the case that people are more likely to just, I mean, we are impatient. We have impatient users, and they want just their mind to be read. I mean, you should come kind of close to reading their mind than actually read their mind through multiple iterations of dialogue. So that's like wasting their time.
Who would be a string personalization? If you're seeing some results, they have this line and they have this results cluster or something.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on one particular result next time, if you have a Gmail account, you say...
If you have a Gmail account, that's another issue. You need to have actual user accounts for these things. And, you know, most of us don't log in, and most of us would not want Google to keep an entire list of all the things they're searching for in the hours of night. So there are lots of problems with this. And
that's like profile-based. That's like profile based, and this would be like more general. Like without profiles, you can do it.
So then, but that would be multiple iterations.
Yeah.
People are not. I mean, each iteration takes, you know, you cut down more people who do their patient. So that's a situation.
Right.
Again, I think you guys have to keep in mind the difference between general search and search for very specific areas. Search for very specific areas where people have likely to have more patients. You know, a biologist looking for a correct paper that is going to solve their problem are likely to spend, you know, more iteration improving their query than me looking for some moody review.
One thing I was wondering is that, as you mentioned in the class, that we get by without NLP, full NLP, and still it works. But I was just wondering, what if NLP full were possible in future? What would be the world, I mean, what revolution can it make, can it bring? It's like, then web pages would be like, you don't, people would not need to talk to each other. You just write web pages and your agents would be able to understand you. I mean, that's a big thing to think about. I mean, it reminds me of a movie like Matrix 1 and 2, if anybody has seen it. They really warn you that if you bring intelligence into machines, this is what can happen. But it's interesting to see, I mean, if NLP full were possible, what would happen? Other things like applications like social networks, it would be interesting to see what other techniques, what other applications are still there in the world where these things can be applied, just applied. I just wonder. And projects and classes were fun. Thank you for offering this course, sir.
So remember, that you guys are talking this time. So if this was a review I'm doing, by now people would be leaving in droves, right? Because you don't like my voice, but you better like your voice, right?
Hello, this is Munmun. First of all, I would like to summarize what all topics I really liked. Vector space ranking was really interesting, and to find the wide areas it can be applied to. LSI was one more aspect that was very interesting, but it was equally surprising that Google isn't using LSI. I don't know why they are not using. About the homeworks, they were pretty interesting. I liked homework 2 especially. It was interesting to do LSI and find the correlation between Bush and Kalahari, which was implicit and couldn't be viewed before we did LSI. One area that I thought that we could have covered more was text classification. Other than naive-based classifier, we could have discussed more classifiers because text classification is one very important area, I feel.
Again, I think that's another point. That's a good point, except each of you probably think a specific area is very important. This guy would have liked information extraction, I can tell that. And a bunch of you would have liked it to be an social network course. Think of me as recommending you the courses that you should be taking for the next semester. I may not be teaching them. You know, I won't be here to teach them. But, you know, I think part of it is that to do work in this area is cross multiple sub-areas, and none of which we actually went to detail. But we went enough that you can see how possibly we can be working together. I would actually have said that text classification is something that I spend more time on than other things, just because I am biased. I'm an AI guy. Okay. There are some other areas where we went way too at a high level. But clearly, there's a lot more in each of these areas. So.
And it was nice to have certain aspects of databases in the course, although I'm not a database person, but I found it very good to interrelate IR with databases. For example, what we did in gathering and using source statistics in query processing and data integration. Social networks was a very different thing that we did in the course, and it was one such area in which we could relate our real world with our course, and that was quite interesting. In all, the course, I believe, involves a lot of aspects, not only AI. I had the preconceived notion that it is a pure AI course, but after the semester, I feel that it gives an idea about many different fields, and obviously, I would, if somebody would ask me, I would recommend my juniors to take the course.
Yeah, that's part of it, because it's a story that story of a bunch of teams who actually in the dead of the night they're trying to break into some place, and they made a hole, and each of them are trying to reach to the treasure, and the first guy pushing his hand gets bitten by a scorpion, and so what does he do? He takes his hand back and tells the next guy, yeah, it's there, go ahead. And so so that's not so useful. You suffer through it, you should get other people in trouble through it. A second point is, from here on, in general, there is no such thing as I'm not a database person, I'm not an AI person, I'm not some other person. No. I get to say it, I'm an old enough guy that other things, myself, I say I'm both an AI and database person. I'm really AI, you know, that's the only thing that matters. It's also partly database. But none of you get to say that, really, because you need all of this. I mean, that was the whole point of this course. Okay, and if you want to do this, in fact, if you are trying to get a job in Google, right, they are not looking for search people anymore. They got search people up there, whatever. You know, they're looking for random other people. Okay, who can do the rest of the things, like dusting the Linux box and all that stuff. Okay. So you need a lot more computer science than just, and not even just computer science. In fact, that's another interesting thing. I mean, if you look at some of the, you know, the papers that are making, some of the areas, the efforts that are making big waves these days, there's a particular paper that I really like. You might look at it, VLDB 2004 Best Paper Award paper on tensor networks. It crosses the boundaries of pattern recognition, machine learning, Kalman filtering, databases, query processing, a whole bunch of things. Okay, very nice idea, and in fact, you can't do it any other way. So people have to talk to each other, kind of at least within computer science and with close by areas such as social networks, areas, AI, electrical engineering, and so on. So don't think of yourself as you might have an interest in some area, but there is no more that I'm not an expert. You know, you're all everything. You are generally intelligent people with interest in some area. That's the only way to work. Yes, thanks. VLDB 2004, this is Deshpande, Sam Madden, etc. I mean, there's like half AI people, half database people writing a paper. Next. Yes.
My name is Mingyi. Just to quickly summarize, because we are running out of time. The topics that interested me is PageRank and the vector space model. I think it's very fundamental, but however, it's very essential. We also used that's the part A of our project, but we also use it in our part B and also part C of the project for authority hub pages and also clustering. And other topics are information extraction and social network. I was surprised to find that that was actually part of the information retrieval that's actually included in this course, in information extraction. And I was also surprised to see that Wikipedia actually updates this information so quickly, like the next day. I found the course is a combination of math, database, information retrieval. It also involves like calculating eigenvalues, which I haven't used it in like 3 years. And then for this course, I also start to pay more attention to a lot of everyday, like when I use Google or Amazon to make purchases. Like I used to see those when I purchase a book, it also says, customers bought this book, also bought something else. I just didn't really realize the value of that and how we can really do about that. and
I understand that you guys are running out of time, but I have to step on some of the things that we said. One of which is there are two interesting aspects that happen when you understand how some things are working. One is the Minsky's famous saying, which is with understanding comes a sense of law. You know, there's no magic anymore as to why they're able to figure out what you're doing. Okay. But at the same time, knowing how things work provides you a different level of enjoyment. I mean, it's like knowing music allows you to enjoy classical music concerts more than like what I do, which is, you know, sounds good. Okay. So I think these are two interesting trade-offs that you go through. The magic is gone, but you have a better appreciation as to why they work and how you can make it work better.
And I found the project and the homework to be relatively difficult than all my other courses projects, but it's also very helpful and interesting.
Okay, my name is Lei, and I want to go over the topic. I just want to talk about the most interesting problem to me is that, like, when you go over this course, you see, like, in reality, we always make unrealistic assumptions, and it works. But actually, when you try to capture some realistic assumptions, like for the text documents, when you try to use phrases or sentences, it does not necessarily lead to better result. So this gives you the question, like, what is the what is the truth behind the text document? What's the true hypothesis?
So there is a classic, this is a classic point, you guys are just finding this in the context of IR and computer science. There's a paper that if you guys remind me, I'll send you a link to, probably it's available somewhere on the web, on the unreasonable effectiveness of math in physics. Okay, why should mathematics be helpful at all in explaining the physical world? Mathematics was made up, okay? And most of the time, the assumptions in any model are totally flaky. Okay, Newton's models of the world are pretty flaky. You know, Einstein's is, you know, fixed it up, and Einstein's models are pretty flaky too. So this issue of you can only get good answers if you have completely high fidelity model, it's bogus. Okay, and however, we keep getting surprised at it, that, wow, you know, I made this assumption about independence of everything, and yet I'm getting away. And it's not surprising, you know, people way before you were worrying about the same thing as to why should math be relevant at all for people. Okay. I'll send you that article. It's a very neat. I don't think it explains anything, but it'll actually give you language to put your frustration into text. Good.
Just one more point. About the search engine, I hope that there would be more natural language processing and other multimedia stuff involved, because like I believe in the future, like all the images, the kind of like a sound of web pages, all this stuff to be useful for search engine. So I hope like in the future this course will discuss something about that as well. Yeah.
No, you guys should do it. I have legitimately other things to do, but hopefully you guys will do it.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay, one last question, and then I have a couple of things to say, and then we'll
My name is Romik. I took this course, when I took this, I thought that it will be more of data mining and something. I had read one or two papers related to this collection selection all, but it was really much more information extraction, social networks, all that. And I like the seeing the application of the math we have learned, and the main thing I got that analysis is more important from while doing project that I found. And previously when I thought that how this Google is getting images for a particular query, I thought that it is doing some content based image retrieval comparing image, but I found that the anchor text is useful in finding these images. And that's it.
What was this point?
Yeah, analysis. Analysis is basically the point there is, if you don't take your results seriously, nobody in the world is going to take your results seriously. Okay? Even if you take your results seriously, nobody else might take it seriously. But you owe it to yourself if you have, you know, done any analysis, any project. You have to analyze it. So I just want to end with two slides. I should have some sort of an epilogue, so I'll do this. John Barclay, who was an English anatomist, was actually a lecturer apparently, had given this famous address to a Congress of anatomists in the, you know, early 20th century. And he described his field in the following way, basically, that anatomy may be likened to a harvest field. First come the reapers who, entering upon untrodden ground, cut down big swaths of corn from the field, and they have made humongous contributions. Then come the gleaners who gather up ears enough from the bare ridges to make a few loaves of bread. Okay? And then come the geese who still contrive to pick up a few grains scattered here and there among the stubble, and they're cackling with excitement that they have done these little things. Okay? So an English anatomist, Barclay, then started his lecture by saying, gentlemen, we are the geese. We basically have only these little pieces left. All the big things have been done. Anatomy must have been a pretty dull subject, beginning of 19th century. All I can tell you is information integration on the web is still rife with uncut corn. Okay, humongous amount of uncut corn. And we're just figuring out how to tap into its potential. You have great stores of uncut corn in front of you, if I have to take the corn metaphor, and go cut your own. Thank you.